been a hell of a week, man.
The end is nigh.
I think so, too, man. They're not telling us the damn truth.
Aliens are on their way.
They are. They really are. And I can't wait. I've been waiting for this shit forever.
Well, I'm being a Trekkie. I figured as much.
Oh, that was low, dude.
Low like the tone in your voice? Low?
What's wrong with my voice, man?
Nothing. Nothing. That's actually... I'm going to tell a joke in a minute. Has evolved with voices.
With voices?
With voices.
Man.
So, I'm going to lead off with this one. That's fine. I'm going to lead off with this joke. So, guy goes to the doctor, okay? Walks in and he says,
Doc, I don't know what's wrong with my voice. It's been like this since I hit puberty and, well, it freaks all my friends out. And I don't know what to do about it.
And the doctor goes, okay, he goes, I have no clue what's going on here. Vocal cords and everything look like they should be. You know, he's like, just go ahead and get undressed and get in a gown. He said, we'll do a full inspection, see what's going on. So the guy gets undressed, and as he's dropping his pants, the doctor notices that the guy's penis is touching his knee. And hold on. And so the doctor goes, holy shit. He goes, I'm going to go out on a limb here. He said, I think that your dick is so big that it's pulling on your vocal cords and it's causing you to have such a deep voice. He said, we can do a surgery. It's like experimental, of course. We can do a surgery and remove it down to a normal size, and I think it would fix your problem.
God, and the guy goes, are you fucking with me?
And the guy goes,
are you serious? Because, I mean, like, I'll try anything. Please just help me out.
And the doctor goes, okay, so they do the surgery. All right, they remove 8 inches off this guy. A couple of weeks later, the guy comes back in and he goes, wow, doc, he's like, it's amazing. He said, my voice is normal now. He said, but, you know, kind of bummed my wife out that you took so much of it. He goes, is there any way we could take some of what you took off and put it back? And the doctor looks at him and goes,
no, we removed it last week.
Oh, that's funny, man. Now we've already started off on the wrong foot. This is going to go gravy in no time.
Isn't it, though?
Oh, I'm glad we started it off on a light note, though. I really am.
So let's start with how your week went, and then we'll get into mine.
And mine was just, I just did not have a good week. I wasn't feeling it. Very busy. Nothing went as planned.
Never does.
No, and you know I can't stand that.
No, because you're a planner.
I gotta plan everything out, and I'm just wrong all the fucking time now.
And you're also a person who, when you deviate from the plan, it'll throw your whole day off.
It does. Then I gotta take more meds and drink more beer.
At the same time?
Yeah.
Wash it down?
Yeah, you know, so I get my mind right.
Gotcha. So, had the little girl's birthday party yesterday. I had to miss it because of work. And that sucked, but how did it go? I mean, it was good.
Yeah, we had, everybody had a good time. There were some more kids here this time because we can't, all of her friends can't be 40 somethings. And that's what they were.
Well, I mean, when they're younger, it's okay, you know, because at the time, you're really doing the party for you. The kids, sure.
Too. Oh, that's definitely not so.
Back when they're younger, yes. Like, think about it. The kid's not going to remember. You're not going to remember the second birthday, third, and maybe even the fourth birthday. But I mean, really, be realistic. How many of your birthdays can you remember?
The seventh one's where it starts.
Yeah, but can you remember all of them?
Oh, no, shit.
So you see what I'm saying? It's like, it's a flash in the pan. It's a great memory to have for about 2 years and then it goes away.
Yeah.
Because our brains are like a loaded down cloud storage.
So, Joey, how was your week?
It's Monday started off with a bang. a literal bang. And I debated really long and hard about even posting the video of it, but since I'm, for the most part, I'm okay.
I did well. I didn't show anyone other than my wife.
So I mean, I showed a few people. So we decided Monday night that we were going to do a bonfire. You know, our granddaughter was still in town, and she wanted to make s'mores. So wife goes and buys s'mores material, and we're going to do a bonfire in this freshly dug fire pit that we did in the backyard. Wife and I put sticks and some cardboard boxes and things like that, and, you know, normal burnable things, not garbage or anything like that. And my wife's son, the oldest one, he put, I mean, some papers, and it wasn't really anything flammable, you know, badly flammable. Sure. Like, I think there was a couple empty pill bottles in there, something like that. So the cardboard was wet, and so I decided to put True Fuel on it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I lit it, lit up very, very quickly, and then fireballed my face.
Yes, it did. That's why I am looking at Joe Dolph, the red-nosed reindeer, right now.
I actually cut a flip. It knocked me about 10 feet back. I say it. I don't remember moving. Like, I don't remember. All I remember was the flame going around my face. And then I was cutting a cartwheel backflip thing where my feet went stiff and I kicked the ground. It looked like some Hollywood production stuff.
Folks, in my defense, his message to me was, I'm okay, check this out. And he sends me the video. And so I immediately put any concern out of my mind, like, he's okay. And I'm watching it, and I am laughing uncontrollably for almost all 14 times or so I'm watching this thing.
And then I loop?
No, I've got into slow-mo, and I'm like doing play-by-play. I'm like, God damn. And I realized I had watched it without sound, and I turned the sound on, had to watch it another dozen times because it added everything. I mean, the thud and everything, and dude hops up after he does the flip. I mean, he does the jog off, man. He hops up. It's like a prairie dog, head going side to side. Like, what the fuck happened to me?
Yeah. No, it was. Because you haven't lived until you have a flame wrap around your face. It burnt all the hair off my arms. Got some pretty gnarly, I'm sure it's second degree burns on my hand. Left hand took it the worst. I think that's because out of instinct, I threw my hand up in my face. But that was the most unbearable pain I've ever felt in my entire life, which is crazy because when it initially did it, it was just warm. Mm-hmm. It didn't hurt. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure if it had been longer, it would have hurt like hell, but
it takes time. It takes time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and the way it burnt my hand, the reason why it messed it up so bad is because I'm not a super hairy guy, but I'm also not a guy who's thin on the hair. But when it burnt, I was reading about it, it'll burn all the way down into the pore.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're talking about thousands of individual burns on top, and it was horrible.
I have to say, after seeing you this afternoon, I actually feel bad about laughing. I really do.
Well,
but you know, I love you anyway.
I laughed about it after it was done. I was, what else could I do? My wife's looking at me and she asked me like five times. She's like, oh my God, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I guess I'm okay. You know, after the adrenaline wore off and the pain set in and I went through an entire tube of lidocaine, I had to get up like every 30, 45 minutes and run my hands under cold water. Tried to do the whole thing, run straight to the shower, you know, thinking that it would help.
Like fire, water,
yeah,
water.
Well, like it does with a sunburn, you know, you run water on it, it'll take the sting out of it for the most part. And no, it didn't.
I think somewhere along the way they say to use milk on some of that stuff.
I've heard
that does anything either.
Actually, Ron, the owner of Midnight Iguana, I sent the video to him, and he said, "Did you try yellow mustard on it?" And I was like, "No, I didn't." He said, "I burnt my hand."
I'm not a hot dog.
Right. Well, no. So here's what he did. Like he tells me this. He said, I burnt my hand really bad with a soldering iron one night working on one of my old tattoo machines.
With a soldering iron?
With a soldering iron. And he said, you know, it hurt like hell, it blistered and everything. He said, and I didn't have anything in the shop to just take the burn out. He was like, it was just excruciating pain. He said, and I Googled and said, yellow mustard, put it on. And he was like, at first, he was like, I don't believe that shit. You know, like he didn't believe it either. But then it said it kept hurting. He put it on. He said, no shit, it really took the sting out of it.
Maybe so, it's the vinegar.
It's got to be. It's got to be that or the turmeric. I mean, you know, the stuff that makes the mustard stainy.
Have you seen my teddy bear? I want my fucking teddy bear.
And then the rest of the week was pretty much playing all of that. I missed work Tuesday because of this whole thing and still wasn't very well on Wednesday. So I missed bowling on Wednesday.
So you did the all American thing though. You were out sick, injured for like 2 days and then have to work all fucking day on Saturday.
Yep.
Gotta love it. American dream.
That's how we have to survive in this day and age. You know, if you're going to take a day off, you're going to make it up with two extra ones. Yeah.
It's okay. You can work 26 hours today.
I don't believe in the 2-for-1 special. I'm just saying that out there, you know, you shouldn't have to do that.
No.
And then like, if you analyze how long you're actually at work, you're at work more than you're at home. Most definitely. You're around those people more than you're around your own family.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And so to me, that's kind of weird. Like, cause I try really hard to, once work is done, it's done.
To cut it off.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to associate with it. I don't want to, you know, it's not that I don't like, I love my job. It's nothing like that. But I just, when Joe's not at work, Joe's not at work.
Right.
And so.
And that's really the way it should be.
Well, but people will go, well, why didn't you answer the phone? Because I'm not at work. I'll talk to you tomorrow when I'm at work. You know, but you know, like Quadre gets away with it if he calls. Justin, when he calls, I mean, he'll have to maybe call twice because I leave my phone on silent. And if it's something major, then I'll answer. Andrew, he gets a pass. Andrew gets a pass. You don't work with me. But Andrew gets a pass on it because he's actually a really close friend too. So anytime he calls, I will answer when he calls. Outside of that, you know, like, I mean, I have a cutoff time for the other ones. If it's like 6:30, if you catch me before 6:30, I'll answer. But after that, you know, it's like, no, go do your family thing. We can worry about work stuff later, you know? So then that brings us to today on the podcast. I was looking forward to it. I was irritated to death yesterday. I didn't want to do anything after I got home. But I was looking forward to this.
Oh, me too.
So, and I think it kind of cheered you up a little bit too, knowing that we were going to get to do episode 4.
I know. It's a big milestone.
Say it with a deep voice.
Episode 4.
Yeah. See, goes back to the joke.
Oh God.
Old Longshanks over here.
I fell for that one.
So we're talking about the world coming to the end. The three-eye atlas. I'm not leaving this shit alone now. You got me turned on to something.
It was cool.
It is. It's actually fairly interesting. I saw a thing the other day. It was like 53 days until the end. And I'm like, oh, shit, we're here? Like, this is what we're doing now? But then I got curious, and I'm like, all right, what's the latest three-eye atlas news? And so I started looking, did a little bit of investigating on it, and it turns out this thing is emitting a type of a gas or a particle or something that's coming off of it that's only found on, it's an alloy that they only find on spacecraft.
Like, yeah, a man-made mineral, some kind of nickel-lama-lama ding-dong.
Hold on, if you will bear with me, I will pull this up. Using high-resolution spectroscopy from the Keck 2 telescope in Hawaii, a team of astronomers detected a compound that caught them by surprise. Nickel tetracarbonyl. So that's that word.
Tetracarbonyl? Hell, I love that shit.
Don't you touch my carbonyl.
That's my favorite.
So that came from, I have to source it because I don't want to get sued. We're already in trouble for the music that we play. That came from Daily Galaxy. Okay, there's the credit. It came from the Daily Galaxy. I Googled it, and it was the first thing that popped up. So, and who knows if it's true or not. You know,
right. There's so much screwed up information out there. It's hard to know what's true and what's not. But it's awesome, though.
What I think they should do is, I mean, we invest all this money in other stupid crap when it comes to space. Why don't we send a probe or something to it? I don't know. Send it, you know, send something to it and have it land on it and see what the hell's there.
From my understanding of it, I think it's moving too fast to do that. I don't know.
If it's moving too fast to do this, let me ask you, because you know a lot more about this than I do. So is this thing moving faster than a comet?
No, but comets move pretty damn fast.
But they landed a probe on a comet.
That was an Armageddon, man.
No, they did it in a real one that passed by a couple of years ago.
I did not know that.
Yeah. They landed a probe on a comet. They wanted to see where it was going and blah, 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 blah. And so they can do that.
No.
I'm just saying, if you want to put all the mystery to rest, put something out there that, I mean, we got satellites out there. You mean to tell me a satellite can't see it?
Oh, actually, a couple of the satellite, it was a satellite or the Mars orbiter got good, supposedly got these other videos, that's why, or pictures. That's why things keep coming in when it went by Mars, because it got fairly close to.
So it got close to Mars too. Yeah.
And like I said, apparently we have a ton of shit on Mars that I have no idea.
Aliens that are on the Three-Eye Atlas went nothing there, kept going.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly.
Like, you know, Earth's not like the guy with the loud stereo system 10 miles away coming down the street, you know, like,
right.
We're not letting people know we're here.
I mean, what are we going to do if like this thing comes up on Earth, starts to slow down, you know, corrects itself, gets there, and the thing just opens up and this little pod comes out and we meet these extraterrestrial beings.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, hi, we're here to party.
Oh, yes, bring us the juice.
I mean, it'd be something stupid like that.
I understand you guys like the techno, yeah. It's nothing but the techno for me. The house music is the only music. See, they roll up here.
It's just coming down. Oh, man.
There's people that will see it and go, I fucking knew it.
Just turn around, everybody just, news crews, everything, just turn around and leave.
It's like, great, great. More party animals here. So the other thing that I like, and this goes on my, and I've talked to you about this before, the people listening don't know this unless you've had personal conversation with me, but I am on that belief now that, like, God and the devil and all that are actually extraterrestrial beings.
I think a lot of that makes a lot of sense as far as the dimensional things, too. I think that we, I think we're probably closer to understanding it all or having some type of explanation than we've ever been before.
Well, I mean, and I was talking to my wife about it today. We were talking about everything in nature has a balance. It all does. For light, you have dark. For good, you have bad. You have your opposites for everything. The one that doesn't have an actual opposite in the full sense is life and death. And I say this because your life ends. Death doesn't end. So if everything's supposed to be in balance, then your soul has to, and this is a theory, it's no proof, but wouldn't that mean that your soul would have to have a life after death, you know? And
I would interpret it that way as well.
So, and, you know, touching on the spiritual aspect of things and near-death experiences, I've had my fair share. You have too. Like, we both have.
Yeah, I know. You've actually had more, than more recent too.
So, I know you remember this conversation. It was after, it was the day after my first wife and mine's anniversary. I was on my way to work and I hydroplaned and went through a fence.
Mm-hmm.
And like, by all accounts, it looked like somebody died. Like, it tore a golf ball.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
Yeah, it tore a golf ball size hole in my arm and I had to have like 20 staples in my arm. And but I remember calling you afterwards and going, did I survive that? Like, is this real? Did I like die and I don't know I'm dead?
Yeah, you woke up in the same shithole you were in yesterday morning.
Right. So, but I mean, that was crazy when that one happened. You know, it was the whole, I heard a voice and I swear it was Matthew Glenn's voice. They said, you're fixing the hydroplane. I heard it. It was audibly. I heard it in the cab of the truck. And then right after that happened, I did. I hydroplaned, went through a wooden fence, probably about 55, 60 miles an hour through this wooden fence. When we went back to see the carnage from the vehicles, I didn't pay it any attention.
Right.
Like, you know, I got a hole in my arm. I'm trying to get medical attention.
Other things to worry about.
And when I go back and look, it was crazy because I found a piece of the fence had come through the cab And it was like a spear-looking piece. It wasn't a little one.
You almost got final deed.
And it came through right where my head would have been. You know, if you looked at the trajectory of where it came through. But then the odd part about that was that the glass, the windshield was busted and pushed from the outside, from the inside out. So it looked like somebody's head had hit it. Obviously, my head didn't hit it, or you know, maybe it did, and I'm dead, and this is still the afterlife.
Oh God, I hope not.
Well, I mean, you know, you just skip dimensions. Maybe that's what happens. You know, you die here, and it's like beep 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 beep, beep and you go to the next one.
Choose another pipe,
right? So, but I mean, when I go to the police office, you know, precinct to find out where the truck is, because I don't know. And the lady that's working there, she was married to a guy that I worked with at the time, and she goes, oh my God, she says, that was your truck? And I said, yeah. She said, we thought somebody died in it.
Yeah, that truck was fucked up.
It was bad. Yeah. And walked away with just a, you know, a hole in my arm, which that was very entertaining all in its own. When I get there, the lady gave two shits. Like, she opens up this hole in my elbow and shoves her finger in and is like digging her finger around. Just
checking to make sure there's no far enough.
She was like, yeah, there's got to be more glass in there and stuff. And I,
in your life.
I mean, I'm like,
get out of my arm, taco lady.
And yeah, no kidding. And it's weird because it was right by that main artery, too. Mm-hmm, yeah. Like, you could see the artery, yeah. And thankfully it was still intact. But yeah, that one was fun.
You a tough son of a gun. So, you've been stabbed, blown up, run over.
Blown up, for sure. When I was a kid, I did have the incident with a three-wheeler running me over.
Yeah, so. Three-wheelers. That's why they're no longer they don't make them anymore. Things are like a damn death trap.
I flipped over the front, and this thing had an auto, kept going gas pedal. I was like 3 or 4 years old. My parents were playing softball, so, you know, the natural thing to do when in the 80s when you were had kids was just let them try not to die. And just let them run free. And so this thing ran free on the back of my head. I mean, it was just like spinning out on me, you know. So, but I survived it, I guess, or I died then. And it was like,
oh, goddamn. And you keep bringing me with you.
Yeah. Look, this is how we roll. We a package deal, baby. We a package deal.
Let me go, bro. Let me go.
So, and then let's see. There was that one. There was the three wheeler incident. There was the time when I was younger and I was, I experimented with a lot of different illegal substances. And
don't do that today, kids. It's not the same.
No, absolutely not. And this was bad too. But like, guy I knew, I didn't know what they were, and that's usually the start of how things go bad in a hurry. He was like, "I've got some Darvocets," and I was like, "What are those?" And he was like, "It was kind of like opium." Well, I knew what that was, you know. And so I was like, cool. So I took 7 of them and then passed out.
Go home.
Yeah, passed out in this guy's kitchen. Like, and they were like, dude, it was crazy because they stayed up, I guess. I woke up the next day. I did wake up, but they said it was like every, I don't know, 30, 45 seconds, I'd take a breath.
Oh, like, shit. So, damn. You know, you had already calmed all that down. By the time
God, yes.
I mean, we did our own stuff together, but we didn't. We didn't really go all balls out, I would say.
No, we didn't go all in balls out. We had the fucking incident with the goldfish crackers almost taking me out. When I got the Liza Minnelli, I got salmonella from
killed your
freaking
ass.
Goldfish crackers.
Fucking goldfish.
The doctor, my doctor, he's been my
doctor. For how long? Like, the whole house, like, it just...
The whole house was on death. But see, they threw up. I didn't throw up.
Oh, you
can't. That's what it was. And like, and so salmonella, evidently, and from what I was told, once it gets into your lower intestines is when it really wreaks havoc. Like, if you can throw it up, it's not getting into where it's...
I would imagine that would be better. Know. Get it out as fast as you can.
Right, and I didn't. And so the doctor sends me for a stool sample because he's, you know, we got to figure out...
Oh, I know how we got that.
Yeah.
We took her finger and we stuck it right up in there.
No. They wanted me to shit through a screen.
Oh, I've been bamboozled this whole time.
Yeah. No, they just want to shove fingers in your butt.
Wait till I see my doctor again. I'm kicking him right in the face.
Hi, Preston. It's time for your exam.
I'm like, damn it, I'm tired of this. It makes me feel uncomfortable.
So, but no, okay, so I go back there, and this is at Best Just Croak. You know what that is. And they send me back to the area where they do the testing, and nobody's back there. Shocker.
Oh, that's going to be an intimate setting.
Shocker. Right? Yeah. And so I'm looking around, and like, I'm real weak, I'm real faint, and finally see a button that says ring for service. I'm like, what are you people doing? Like, and then I ring the button and I just kind of slumped, and the chick comes out and she's like, oh my God. And I was like, I'm supposed to do some kind of test. And she was like, not right now, you're not. And put me in a wheelchair, wheeled me back into the emergency room. They're still making me sit and wait. My dad and my mom show up. My dad goes ballistic. Like, he loses it, you know, as loud. He's a Vietnam vet, man. He's watching his kid die in front of him. He lost it. They get me back in.
I want to tell a story about your dad after we
get done. But so they finally take me back to a room. They hook me up to everything. My blood pressure was like 64 over 40, and my heartbeat was 46 beats per minute.
And this is from food poisoning. It's
from food poisoning. And they were like, they gave me, I think it was like 7 bags of fluid.
God.
Almighty, man. Yeah. And the doctor comes in, he's like, well, you should have had this fluid yesterday. And I'm like, oh, thank you.
Well, y'all was waiting on the damned insurance to clear.
And well, no, they were doing whatever the hell they did at that place. That's the reason why it shut down. And it's barely a senior center. So, you know, I bet you could do a good ghost hunt there. God, I'm sure there's plenty of pissed off spirits. Lord, that place was horrible. But it was the fastest place to get to, you know. But I can say this: they were the ones that put my dad on the path that discovered his lung cancer, because he thought he was having a heart attack.
At least I was actually born in that shithole.
And surprised you made it.
And that's why I came out all fucked up.
You mean
up.
It didn't rip your head off too?
That's why I came out all fucked up. That's, Jesus. Let's take a moment for a sponsor.
This segment of You Don't Have the Balls is brought to you in part by Preston's Beer. Enjoy Preston's Beer responsibly.
I'd be willing to mention your name for a free case.
Just one case. It ain't even got to be a whole bunch of
them. Yeah, now we might get some kind of reoccurring thing going on here, you know, where I get like a subscription. If they bring them to me, that's huge, but I'll go get them if I have to.
Well, what do you do? They give you a card for that?
Like, I wonder if it's like one of the black gold... American Express.
But you can only use it for beer?
Yeah.
That's like a food, like, it's like a food stamp like, card for
never,
beer.
Bet you never seen one of these before in my case.
Is it only one case at a time? I'll play this fantasy land shit with you. Is it only one case cool at a time? Me. I mean, it is cool.
Well,
but
I can go and go as many times as I want. Because I know sit in a parking lot, drink the one, and go back inside, get the other.
Listen, we don't condone drinking in public.
Oh, no, I would never do that. I'm way too lazy for that.
We're too old for that shit. You ask us 15 years ago, it's a different story.
You brought up about your dad, and it made me think about the name of this podcast. It was one of the most love your dad to death, of course, still do, even though he's no longer with us. But I remember after the first surgery, your dad made me feel like such a little bitch. Anyway, I mean, and he wasn't even trying to, man. And you know, I think you had brought it up because I was still kind of, you know, skittish about it. Didn't really want to talk about it very much.
Yeah.
And we're over at the house. I'm talking to him. He's, oh, man. He's like, you know, I heard about what happened to you. He's like, I hate that. You know, and he's like, I wouldn't worry about it too much. He's like, I've only got one. And he's like, we had two boys, you know, two healthy boys.
Yeah. That was my dad's way of being supportive.
Yeah, no, it was great, but it made me feel like a little bitch, and I'm like, oh, man, what happened to yours?
Oh, yeah.
I stepped on a landmine in Vietnam. I'm like, God damn it. Right. I feel like a little bitch.
So I'll tell this story because this is crazy as shit, talking about having near-death experiences, and my dad was prone to them, too. You know, he had been struck by lightning.
Yes, what? Three fucking times?
It was twice, legitimately. He says it could have been a third time, but he was struck by lightning twice. And so what the incident Preston's talking about, my dad didn't technically himself step on the landmine.
Okay.
So they had called in an airstrike. My dad was the radio guy, and he called in the airstrike because they had gotten pinned down. He was a Vietnam combat veteran. It's, you know, so that needs to be said. But so what happened was, they finally get clearance. I'm not going to go through the rigmarole. He was pissed. Just put it that way. Because they wouldn't do the airstrike.
Yeah.
He finally gets it called, and my dad calls everybody back off the field, and a guy didn't move. And he was crouched down, and my dad told him three times, I told you to get back. The third time, he said, God damn it, get back. And he grabbed him by the back, by the hook they had on the backs. And he pulled him, and when he did, that guy was on the landmine.
Oh.
And it cut him in half. It blew my dad into the woods. Oof. And my dad, you know, the concussion of the blast made him deaf and for a minute. And he said he remembered looking down, and he goes, he sees all this blood, and he goes, shit, I'm dead, you know? And then he sees tracer fire going over his head, and he can't hear anything. He goes, fuck, I really am dead. He said, and then about that time, he could hear the ringing start to happen in his ears, and the sound was coming back, and he felt somebody grab him by his dust off and snatch him. He says, well, I'm not dead. And they didn't send him home. They sent him to the meds. Like, he was still overseas, and when he healed up, he went back out.
Man, and that just, and a shout out to all of our veterans from all of the services and everything. Thank you so much for what you do. But needless to say, that made me feel like an absolute little, and he wasn't even trying to, he was trying to just comfort me and say that everything would be okay. And after that point, I was like, I'm such a little bitch.
So did you ever play airsoft with a man who had the marksmanship medal? Cause I did.
No.
Oh, and I thought I had him dead to rights. Cause I had one of the battery powered AR-15s that you could turn on full auto, you know, and gave him a bolt action airsoft gun.
He sniped you, didn't he?
Three times. Three times. This gun would not shoot straight for shit.
He compensated.
And he was like arcing bullets at me and caught me. I mean,
he's like shooting the curve.
Yeah.
He's like measuring wind speed and shit.
And I'm not talking like just, you know, he caught me dead between the eyes twice. Twice he did. And I was like, it's enough of this game. Mm-hmm. You know,
I brought you into this world. I took your ass out of it.
Yeah. He definitely would have.
But we're just practicing right now.
Right. It was so crazy when you hear him, when he would talk about what happened. For him to tell you the attachments that he had to which branches. Mm. He was in the Army, and he was in Tropic Lightning 25th Infantry, and if you know anything about Vietnam, you know they fought the majority of the war on the ground. But then he was also attached to Bobcat Alpha, which was another group, and then he was attached to Hell on Wheels out of Fort Hood, Texas, and it was like, Jesus, like my dad was, he was used, like he got around, and it was funny. He didn't get drafted. He volunteered. He volunteered. Yeah. And then when he got over
that, I think some of them knew that it was kind of inevitable.
And he did.
And was probably, I'm not going to say easier, but it probably, I don't know, made more sense for them to go ahead and volunteer.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And he volunteered with his best friend. They didn't take his best friend. I can't remember the whole story why, but they didn't even take him. I think it was probably the reason why they wouldn't take me, because I'm blind in my left eye. Yeah,
same reason they didn't want me.
Yeah, so it's not to say we didn't try, we just couldn't get in.
Yeah, they didn't want me with all my issues.
Well, yeah.
And this was long before any of the other stuff.
Oh, sure. I believe it. And but so when he landed, though, he was in the Fire Direction Center, so he was actually in a base that didn't move, and all he would do would call in to the Fire Direction Center. He would call the airstrikes from there based off coordinates. The guy from Bobcat Alpha came in and said, I need one of you guys to go out in the field with us. My dad said, shit, I'll go. He said, I want to see who we're fighting. I want to see what the big deal is. Yeah, my dad was, I watched him, you know, you can always tell when somebody can flip a switch, especially in the military. Mm. I remember when he had finally admitted that he had PTSD, and he was admitted into the psych ward of the VA, and we go to visit him, and there was this guy that was walking around, and he was just like mumbling, and he was like doing this I'm super crazy shit, and he'd already like raised my dad's hackles. Like my dad was already leery, and we wound up punching the guy, as a matter of fact, while he was there. But this dude starts walking towards us, and my dad's eyes beaded up to like fucking murderer bead. Mm. And he got right in that guy's face and told him, he was like, I will fucking kill you. And he wasn't playing.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't. And that was my dad. God, I miss him. I miss him every day, you know? And
yeah, I miss him too, man.
It's, I do feel like I get my time with him, though, because every now and then when I've got my music going randomly, songs that he loved, that he knew I loved, will come on. And it's like, that's my dad. It happened after he died. The I'll Follow the Sun, that was a song that I did when I did his memorial video that I posted on Facebook. That was that was a song I used. And I kid you not, it was like, I don't know, maybe a week after he had died. And I'm getting into my work car. And I know what I was listening to the day before. And if you know anything about any kind of like MP3 or whatever, it usually starts where you ended, you know? And so I get in the car and I crank it up and this song starts from the beginning and I lost it, you know, and told my wife. And then it happened again when she was in the car too, you know, like it wasn't the only time it ever happened. It just randomly started playing. And now when that kind of stuff happens, I just let it go. I was like, see what do you,
but
what
it,
do you want
but
to
it
hear?
Brings back a memory and it, so, and it brings us back to, to near death experiences and death in general. And is there something after? Is there something after this life? Well, how can it possibly end? How can it possibly be gone if you are continuously remembered, talked about, things that happen with the quote-unquote living,
mm-hmm.
are they remember you every day, remember things, that look how long it's been since Matthew. And it's, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about that.
That's the same.
Or thinking, cook a shit.
Yeah, this man knows.
I mean, not a day, and I laugh, and I love it. And sure, it's tragic, and it's something to have to deal with. One of the funniest things with my dad is I remember I was a troubled teen, in case you guys didn't know. I was about 15 years old, and my dad was super quiet, super cool dude. Never really said much of anything to me or threatened me in any way. Never really even got mad at me a lot of times when my mom would take it overboard. One day I did something. I don't even remember what it is. And I told him, I said, keep messing with me. I'm going to call the cops on you.
Oh, shit.
Oh, I fucked up.
Yeah.
He just turned around and looked at me and said, go ahead and call them. When they get here, they'll be investigating a murder. And he said it in a way, and I'm like, I looked at him. I'm like, no.
You had to question that one.
I'm like, that's a look I haven't seen before. I was I think this motherfucker's serious.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't even remember what it was. I'm sure I deserved it. But
you know, one of my favorite things I used to do when your dad was still alive and he had taken the part-time job at Ingles and he was doing the stocking over in the dairy section, whenever I got to see him, I'd usually have my youngest or Isabel with me. Mm-hmm. One of them would be there. And they always loved to run up and give him a hug. You know, he was such an awesome guy, man. And so maybe he and my dad are getting to hear this now and be proud of their boys, you know.
Yeah, I know, they should be. But, look at how far we've come.
Yeah, no kidding. Mm-hmm. And, but that's, you know, that's like when you were talking about when Matthew Glenn died, you know, that, I still remember, I had a really, like, you were way more reserved on the outside than I was. I couldn't handle it very well, and that's how I've always been. But I remember one night we were sitting at the house when we all lived in the neighborhood, and you played the In Memoria D for us, and you I remember you putting your hand on my shoulder, and you said the day that you don't think about him will be the day you should cry. I remember that.
Yeah, yeah, I actually remember saying that.
And so that kind of stuck with me. And then, you know, not to throw you under a bus or anything, but I also remember when you did finally let your guard down and let everything out, and it was like a month later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was bad, too.
Yeah, because we were sitting out on the porch, and it was a thunderstorm.
Yeah.
I remember this.
I don't know if I remember that.
I mean, you had been, obviously, we had been drinking.
I remember breaking down several times. My wife could probably tell you about
that. Yeah, but the one that I remember of you doing it, that's what I'm saying. The one when it was first not you privately or you with Becky, it was, you know, somebody else finally saw it. But we dealt with, and we always have, we dealt with death differently. I remember losing it when my dad died a couple of days later and apologizing to Kimmy for it. I don't know why I felt like I needed to apologize, but, you know, I finally let it all out and let it all go because I had to be the rock for everything. And I know that this will be argued, but, you know, letting people know the funeral arrangements and things like this.
Right. It's very different. You don't, at that time, you really don't have time to grieve.
No.
Correctly.
No, you don't.
You've got so many things you've got
to. And you have to, you know, stow it all because you've got to be the spokesperson, you know, and yeah. that's what I had to do. And
then you finally get to grieve when you get around those that, you know, after that's all settled.
When you get somewhere where you can finally break.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's not always immediate. And that kind of goes into the another thing I wanted to talk about, and we'll go in depth another day on another episode, but you know, it's the way people process things when they happen negatively. Everybody has their own way of doing it, but the thing is that I am a firm believer in find someone you're safe with and just put everything out there.
Yeah.
You know, just that way you're not bottling it up and you're not walling yourself off, because I was that person too. I walled everything off. I wouldn't let anybody close to me. It was you and two other people that I would even let remotely close to who and how I really am for a very long time. And to a sense, I'm still that way. But you know, it's more difficult to deal with it that way than it is to just say, okay, here it is. This is what I'm going through. And you don't always need an answer from that person. You just need somebody that will be able to listen. And so if you're struggling with something, if you're hearing my voice, and by all means, please, if you're struggling with something that you're trying to repress and bury, find anybody that you trust, not to throw it back in your face, because that's important too. And just get it off your chest. You know?
Absolutely.
Let it out.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're not, whether you think you are or not, you're not alone. And part of coming through a process like that is being able to admit that you have a little bit of weakness, and it's not even weakness, it's really not, but that's how you may feel that it comes across, that acknowledging it, dealing with it, looking mm-hmm. it in the eye,
yep.
and getting through it.
Yeah, because I was always real bad, and you know this because you've seen 50 Shades of Joe without the weirdo sound to it, but it's whatever. I was notorious for eating it and just not saying anything and stow it, keep it, and then erupting. And it was catastrophic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's way worse at that point.
You know, it was, all right, I'm burning all the ships and the bridges and everything aboard, and I'll never go back, you know? And that... So, but I learned better as I got older. I'm like, you know what? That's like I said last week. If it bothers me now, then I'm going to say something about it. You know, there's because I came to the realization because I was always real big on guarding other people's feelings and bypassing my own feelings. Well, the truth is that they're not generally going to pay you the same courtesy anyways, you know? So why should I hold back and just not let it out?
Right.
I mean, that's how I learned. My new coping mechanism with a lot of things now is, it'll be all right, you know?
And social media is not the way to let it out, folks.
No.
That's not what we're talking about.
No, we're not talking about posting all of your
horrible,
drama.
You can't fight everybody with the algorithm. You can't do it. It does no good.
Sure can't. But again, goes back to everybody's looking for ways to either be praised or be angry. I mean,
and that's where we're talking about. You need to find someone to talk with, in what I'm going to just loosely call, with quotations, real life. You know, you can't post shit out there, your problems, and then get in a deeper state of depression when people hammer you for having those problems because you just put it all over the in front of the world's eyes. You can't do that, and you can't be upset when they hammer down on you.
No, you know, you can't.
So don't worry about that shit. Don't worry about what people say on, you know, if you want to post something and get the response, get it, take it and, you know, use it for whatever you want to use it for, but don't get butt hurt because, you know, somebody trashed you on, you know, in public.
That's like if this video that I post of me getting blown up goes viral, I know that there's going to be people that say horrible things. I just don't care.
Are you scared?
I'm not really scared. I just don't care.
You shouldn't be scared because you can ask them, hey, fucker, you've been blown up. Walk away from
me. Right.
They're like, you ain't got the balls.
Oh, hell no. Social media for me is, lately I've been on it more, but it's because I've been checking podcast statistics.
I have done more on social media since we started this podcast than I have in my entire life.
It's so stupid. It's like I get obsessed with it. I'm like, I check. And then 30 minutes later, I'll check. And how many people we got? You know, we're up to 53, by the way, followers on the page.
Thank you all.
And we're up to 60.
Because we're going to keep doing it.
All right. We're up to 62. Well, I gave them warning. We're up to 62 spins. Let me finish my thought. But I gave them warning. I was like, if you don't like it, we will go to 2 episodes a week. You see how that works?
There'll be a lot more gravy in the dish. We're going to tell you right now.
With the gravy. Jesus.
Can't help it. Like a little inside joke we have with our listeners.
I thought about you the other day when I was at the grocery store. I did, because I bought 2 packs of peppered gravy.
Yeah, delicious.
I'm going to try it again. I think it's a sawmill gravy I don't like. I don't know which gravy it was that turned me off to the white type of gravy. But something did it, and I'm like, well, maybe it was just, I don't know, I got it from somewhere, and I just didn't particularly like it, or I didn't like what it was with, or they just didn't know how to make gravy. So I got some of the Pioneer peppered gravy. There's a name for you. That's Pioneer. I know, I don't care. We're not big enough for anybody to give a shit about me saying a name brand.
Sponsor.
Right.
Well, we'll take you, though. We'll take free packets of gravy.
No, don't sign us up for that.
We'll take it, though.
You'll take it. I'm not taking 100 packs of however many. You have a lifetime supply of gravy. Preston Stoke. Joe's like, what the fuck am I going to do with all this gravy? Okay, that's gross. Thank you.
100,000 sperm, and you were the fastest.
Robbie, not funny.
Oh, Jesus. So, I was talking to Robbie the other day, and He was telling me about how his girlfriend has gotten this new fetish with wanting to wake him up in the middle of the night and then not do anything about it. I'm like, Robbie.
Oh, Robbie, is that true? Because I noticed you look bags around your eyes, man.
Jeez, I don't know, man. He's with a sadist, though. Like, he found her on FetLife. Yeah.
Is that on the dark web?
I don't know where it is. I just know he told me it was on FetLife, and I was like, what is that? And he's like, it's a fetish community. And I'm like, okay, so that's whatever. But he started, like, they're a thing. But now her latest gimmick is waking him up in the middle of the night, teasing him, and then rolling over and going back to sleep. I'm like, dude, that's a form of torture I wouldn't be able to handle. Mainly because you're waking me up. And if you're not.
Oh, yeah, I can't do it.
If you go wake him up, you go put him back to bed.
You know? So, but that's, I was like. So that explains why you haven't been sleeping.
You are doing well today, Robbie, even with a little hiccup earlier, I will say.
Yeah, no. He'll edit that out. I got to give him props. He's gotten a whole lot better with this. This is going to episode 4, and he's strutting around like he's some kind of super producer now.
He is. You're proud of yourself, aren't you, Robbie?
One of these days, Robbie will let you talk into the mic.
No, you want to now?
Hey, you shut your face. If we want to hear you talk, I will shove my arm up your ass.
Yeah.
So today ain't the day.
Yeah, not today, buddy.
Hey, thump my mic again.
Oh, damn, I'm glad he's throwing socks. No, don't throw your underwear.
Them's his 3-day underwear.
I'm leaving the room.
It's like 72 hour deodorant. It's 3-day underwear. This shit goes off the rails every chance it gets.
It doesn't take long. It doesn't take long. It really doesn't.
He's like, you fuckers keep talking shit, you're gonna have your next near death experience.
Oh, son of a gun comes in and murders us on a recorded podcast and then publishes the shit.
Be the best.
That'll
get some clicks. You think that can get some clicks? You know what makes it worse is the one, Robbie? Is that the one? Is it this one? Which one? So
whenever we let him talk, we're going to use this one so you can't understand what he's saying anyways.
That's my favorite one. That's my favorite one. That and between the one where the Three-Eye Atlas gets here and we're going to start hearing him talk like, yeah, welcome to the party. That's so stupid. Oh, my God. Everybody's concerned about what these aliens are doing. We're like, what kind of Jaeger bombs are they going to make at this party? Oh, man. If this is the end, like, if this is, I mean, Stephen Hawking said it, though. He was like, if they ever invaded us, they're not here to make friends. He's like, they're here to conquer. And
what they would want, though.
What, I mean.
What do you think they would want?
Our resources.
You think? So they need the same crap we do?
Yeah.
I bet a bullet will fuck them up then.
Well, I mean, but it'd be some shit, like, if their spacecraft ran off of, like, stupid people. It's like, well, you found an endless supply. Just keep refueling. We got a bunch of them.
Yeah, you know, we'll be out there, whoa, I'm going to take his saucer for a spin.
I'm sorry.
I really do hope that they come up playing the techno. I really do.
Yeah, that's what you're hoping for? That's hoping a disco ball pops out the bottom like a nut sack and just starts twirling lights?
Well, I got to bring up nuts.
Because they have them.
Because I'm a nasty motherfucker.
That's right. That's right. You've known this for a very, very long time. I'm surprised that I've kept my filter on. I've done pretty well.
You've done good.
So. But, I mean, to be fair, I haven't gone off on an insult fest on anybody either.
Yeah, no.
I try not to.
Right.
Like,
right. Oh, we'll do that to your face, people.
My wife is like, geez, you really go off on people. And I'm like, well, they can't hear me.
Right.
Yeah. So it's okay. They can't hear me. She's like, I can hear you. And I'm like, well, I'll tone it down. So I do. I try and tone it down for her. Every now and then, you know, you get that one. It's like, motherfucker. Like, I'm gonna talk about this one because this is a gas station I stop at in the mornings on the way to work. But now I don't eat sausage because I've gone on this. I don't want cholesterol kick.
Right. Trying to stay healthy.
I'm trying to stay healthy, but this is always this chick that was in front of me. Like, it was like, who was gonna get there first? Because she is a sausage and gravy lover to the tune of like, she wants five pieces of sausage chopped up in her gravy. And I'm like,
she got a special order?
Yeah, no, yeah. She'll take all the sausage. She looks in the pan, sees how many pieces. She's like, I want all of them. I'm like,
I want the sausage. Yeah.
Exactly. And she made me mad. I said some things.
Joe's back there.
Hey, bitch. Save some of the sausage for me, bitch.
Yeah.
I like sausage.
Yeah, pretty much. And then you've also got that time when I see her in front of me. I'm like,
you fucking bitch.
But I don't say it in her face because I'm in uniform. I really can't say anything at all. You know, just
oh, don't you hate that?
Hey, how's it going this morning?
Don't you hate being branded?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, the sausage is gone again. Oh, fiddlesticks. I guess I have to have the bacon, you know? Like, now I don't even stop there. I stop and get my Gatorade for the day. Now they lost my customer. Service, like, they lost me as a customer. I buy my two Gatorades and I'm like, all right, you guys have a good day. You're not getting breakfast? No, I can't.
Mm-hmm. Some bitch has been taking all of the sausage.
Well, I mean, between that and the fact that, like, I'm not gonna pay $4 for one chicken biscuit where I can pay 10 for a 20 pack.
Where are you getting this shit at?
I can't say.
Oh, okay. Is it a local joint?
It's local to me. It's not local around here. No. Okay. It's low. If you know,
is it franchise or is it a local
shop? No. It's a gas station. I can't say the gas station name because then, like, this chick listens. Well, she's already gonna know because she takes all the damn sausage, you know. But she's gonna be like, God, that asshole called me out. But she's gonna try and figure out who this asshole is. Okay, so because again, I say it to myself, I vent it out to my wife or to you.
Right.
And then I go on about
it. Oh, I have a problem with something very similar to that.
What's that
has ruined many a breakfast for me at convenience stores.
They don't have country ham?
No, it's not what I was going to say.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Is fucking lottery at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Look, man.
You are going to have to go to fucking work.
You got to be in it to win it, baby.
You're not going to scratch off the fucking winner and not have to go to work. Get the fuck out of the line and get what you need to go and get your ass to work.
My favorite one is when you get behind that guy and goes, let me get a number 3, a number 13, a number 47, a 22, a 45, and $3 worth of gas.
Yeah. I hope you can wad them fucking lottery tickets up and stick in that gas tank.
Priorities are set, baby.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to win so big, I only have to sit in the parking lot and burn $3 worth of gas with the AC or heat on.
You would have thought my dad hit the lottery with how much he played the lottery.
Your dad did win big, though, a couple times.
He did. Like 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, but your dad wasn't doing anything outside of his means, though.
No, well.
And he also wasn't over there keeping me from getting what the fuck I need to get through my fucking day.
No, and he was getting his exercise because he walked to the gas station.
He's retired. He's doing that shit normal hours. Not at 6 o'clock in the morning, folks, when people are trying to get their fucking nicotine, their energy drinks, their breakfast and shit, and go about their fucking miserable day. You don't want to fuck with us. I'm telling you right now.
Did he ever tell you about the one time he legitimately almost lost his shit in there over some lottery tickets? He didn't tell you about that? Mm-hmm. So the lady in front of him bought the ticket he intended on buying and won $2 million fucking dollars. Ooh. Oh, he lost his shit. He was like, you got to be fucking... Yeah, I mean, you know my dad. He lost it over that. And he was like, you know, he cussed about it for weeks. That was supposed to have been mine. I was there to buy that ticket. And I'm like, man, you wouldn't have known. Like, and I'm a firm believer if I touch it, the numbers change underneath it before you scratch it off.
You know? You're like, oh, Joe's got this one? Oh, this one's 12.
But he
paper.
Didn't. No, he won like 20 grand, I think. 25 grand, maybe more.
I thought he hit a 50.
He did hit a 50. You're right. That's how he bought the truck.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which still, folks, is like 32 grand in your pocket.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's horrible. Horrible.
The government's going to get it. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's good, you know, I'd take it. Sponsor.
This segment is brought to you by yet another one of Preston's cold beverages. Enjoy responsibly.
Somebody needs to come up with a muffler for these things.
No.
I'm going to do that.
You're going to come up with
it.
You're
going to make us rich.
That's what's going to make us rich. All right. That's fair. I guess it's better than playing the lottery. Yeah, I do that, and I sit there and
daydream. But you don't do it at 6 o'clock in the morning like a fucking asshole.
No, I don't even do it. My wife does it. She's like, I gotta go play a lottery.
You can do that shit on the app now.
I know.
That's a little too easy. You know, I stopped doing that. You'd be proud of me.
Why? Why did you stop doing it?
I won 45 cents.
Is that it?
They've changed the denominations for the GA lottery.
Oh, it's because they took away the penny?
You can actually win like 45 cents on like a $2 ticket. And I said, oh, fuck this.
That's stupid.
Yeah. You used to always get your...
At least your money.
Yeah. Now you don't.
Oh, my God. I do remember when we were younger and you were playing, I got you to buy the Jumbo Bucks that time. And we were walking back from the gas station.
I'm a little embarrassed
about
that one.
This one was great because the aftermath was even funnier. Like, my jaw dropped. And Preston scratches it off, and he goes, man, I didn't win anything again. I looked at it, and I was like, bullshit, dude. You got a jumbo symbol. Like, you won, I think it was $50 or something like that. You'd won.
Off a $2 ticket.
Off a $2 ticket. And he looks at me and goes, dude, he said, do you know how many of these I've thrown away because I had jumbo on it?
It's true.
Yeah. I'm
thought somebody, you had to match it.
No, somebody collected on it, I guarantee you, because you got those people that'll go rummaging because they're like, oh, people got shitty. And now I just check it with the app. Like, if I don't, like, because there's so many numbers.
Oh, dude, and some of that shit's stupid confusing, too. They do that on purpose.
Yeah, and also I've won before, thought it was like $20, turned out to be 50 because I don't still know where the other 30 came from, but it was $50.
Right, yeah.
You know? Kimmy does that stuff. She takes care of it. She's got the play slips. We play the same numbers. We're trying to, you know.
I think that if you're going to play something, play the drawings, you know.
Well,
like for us, a good one to play, I've actually known two people to win the entire Fantasy Five.
Really?
Yeah, and that's like a little over 100 grand most times or something.
Yeah, but it accumulates too.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's no, you know, 1.4 billion, but it's a life-changing amount of money.
I can guarantee you, if I ever hit that kind of if I hit big boy lottery money like that, this podcast is going to do things. We won't be struggling to figure out how our listeners are going to get to us. Because we'll all of a sudden be famous. Oh, yeah, you don't remember Joe and Preston? They did this and this and this, and they'll have a whole backstory on us that never existed.
You know what? If we hit big money,
yeah.
If we hit big money,
yeah.
We're going to give something to our subscribers that we have right now.
I would do that.
I would absolutely do that. And it would be, I mean, like if we hit big money, oh, and it would be, you'll feel it.
I'd be like that YouTuber guy. I give away some money because he gets more money. He doesn't care. Yeah. You know, that's how he makes his money. He gives it away.
Well, we're not doing this for money. We're doing this for our fucking mental health.
We're doing it because this is what we love to do. The rock days are over. And so now here we are.
We can't play anymore because our hands are all fucked up in the goddamn fucking.
It's coming, man. Have you seen my teddy bear?
No. Where's my foil hat?
Get it. You're going to need it. Put an antenna on it.
We will see you guys next week.
Thank you.